Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Summertime, one of the most recorded songs in music history, has been interpreted by everyone from Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong to Janis Joplin. But Summertime was first heard in Porgy and Bess, a 1935 American folk opera by George Gershwin, his brother Ira, and author DuBose Hayward. Now, 76 years later, Porgy and Bess is being reimagined at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge. It started previews last night and is bound for Broadway, but as WBUR's Andrea Shea reports, changing this classic opera comes with some baggage.
Messing with an iconic work will always get people riled up, and the creative team behind the new Porgy and Bess understood that from the get-go.
Oh, it's a classic. What are you going to do? Oh, no, it's famous and old.
That's what a lot of people have said to Susan Laurie Parks, the first African-American woman to win a Pulitzer Prize for drama. Tony Award-winning director Diane Paulus hired Parks to help transform Porgy and Bess, the opera, into a piece of musical theater. Musical theater legend Stephen Sondheim attacked them for dishonoring the opera's original creators with their reimagining. But Parks has this reminder to the purists.
We haven't touched the opera, actually. What we did is, you know, on your computer you push duplicate. We're making another show. We're not saying this will replace the original brilliant opera called Porgy and Bess. And the Gershwins asked us to.
The Gershwin and Hayward estates, actually. The trustees enlisted Diane Paulus first.
Every time in rehearsal, you know, when a music stand falls down or a book falls off and something crashes, you know, we're always like, there's Gershwin.
Paulus is also the artistic director at the ART in Cambridge.
And actually, I think what makes it such a powerful classic is that you do feel like you're in dialogue with, you know, not only George Gershwin, but Ira Gershwin and Du Bois and Dorothy Hayward and what they gave us 76 years ago that we are still working on and still mining beat by beat, word for word, note by note.
This past May, Paulus led the cast in workshops in New York before moving on to rehearsals here last month. But the brainstorming began more than a year ago after Paulus contacted Susan Laurie Parks and musical adapter Deirdre Murray to take on the musical's book and score. They hold themselves up in windowless rooms, listening to recordings and poring over the libretto so they could modernize without disturbing, as Murray put it. But everyone saw problems in the narrative, which, of course, landed in Parks' lap.
You just look at it and go, here are some words that are working to tell a story. How can they more effectively tell that story?
In the tweaked production, the story still unfolds in a southern fishing community called Catfish Row. It's still set in the 1920s. Bess is still a beautiful drug addict, torn between her brutish boyfriend, Crown, and her growing love for the charming disabled beggar, Porgy. But Parks had big questions about what makes these characters tick. For instance, the original opera never explains why Porgy is disabled. So Parks turned to the source.
In the book, you go to the original novel, Du Bois Hayward's novel, and you realize he's crippled from birth. I'm crippled from birth. God made me to be lonely. That's in the show.
I'm crippled from birth. God made me to be lonely.
What does that mean, to marry those two things together? And into my life comes the most beautiful, cool, sexiest, most awesome chick. And I fall in love with her.
And that's drama, Park says. The team focused on fleshing out all of the characters' backstories, Bess's and Crown's included. And they made a particularly controversial decision to eliminate one of the opera's key plot devices, Porgy's goat cart. In this show, he exudes more strength getting around town using a cane. Parks also wanted to address a longtime criticism of the opera. She points to the song, I Got Plenty of Nothing.
That's the song that people, folks go, ah, man, that's a racist song, you know. It's basically the happy darky with the empty pockets song.
That didn't bother Parks as much as her feeling that the song didn't work dramatically. So she added a few words of dialogue to set it up.
This is why words are cool. So when Porgy comes out of the house, he says, good morning, everybody. And they say, good morning, Porgy. And the guys get to joshing with him.
Oh, you doing better than good, Porgy. Look at that smile you got. Well, what you been up to? Nothing. Nothing.
Now, he's just been in the house with Bess. And if any of you have ever been in a new romance, you know what that's like. They all start laughing. A bunch of guys on stage are all laughing. And he starts singing, I got plenty of nothing.
And nothing for me. I got no car. I got no you. I got no misery.
And it's a song about, I have love in my life now.
The folks with plenty of plenty.
Broadway performer Norm Lewis plays Porgy. He and the rest of the cast are proud to be in this updated version of this famous, sometimes controversial opera. While it's been called a racist piece, written by a Jewish New Yorker who might have known very little of real life in a poor black southern town, they say it's critical to remember how radical Porgy and Bess was for its time. Its creators stipulated it would always be performed by an all-black cast. And in the 1940s, singer Todd Duncan refused to take the stage as Porgy at the segregated National Theater in Washington, D.C., unless all seats were open to all colors.
There's the woman I'm looking for. Why you ain't coming here and say hello to your man?
You ain't her man.
Baritone Philip Boykin plays Crown in the new Porgy and Bess and believes it will attract more diverse audiences to the ART and to Broadway. Even though he's sung the villainous role in opera productions all over the world, he says this version has taught him a thing or two.
I've been doing Porgy and Bess since like 1995 or 96, and I never knew why Porgy was cripple. This show answers that. I never knew if Crown really loved Bess or not, and this show answers that. It answers a lot of the questions that I've had forever.
That, of course, is music to the creative team's ears and likely to the trustees for the Gershwin and Hayward estates. They traveled to Cambridge this week for the final dress rehearsal and first preview performance. I've been told they might very well request changes to the show. The estates stand to earn royalties from what's now called the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, but more important to the trustees and the creative team is to have this 20th century love story reach 21st century audiences who don't usually go to the opera house. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.